Heavenly Father, as we turn now to this psalm, we pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit that we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we have been looking at the second book of Psalms, which began in Psalm 42, and we've reached the penultimate. Next week will be the last one. We are in Psalm 71 today, Psalm 71, and it doesn't have a title. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, for my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. O my God, I will sing praises to you with the lyre. O Holy One of Israel, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Well, so far God's holy and inerrant word. Verse 6, upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And this is a psalm written, I think, by someone, and it may be David, and because it doesn't have a title, many commentators say there's a connection between this one and the previous one, Psalm 70, which is a Davidic psalm, and this is a psalm perhaps of David in his maturer, older years, and the reference to gray hairs. And God has been involved in his life from his birth, from even before his birth. We all have stories as we look back. They appear on one level to be coincidences. My grandfather, who died when I was 5, taught me and instilled in me a love for classical music. My mother introduced me to Gustav Mahler, his second symphony, the Resurrection Symphony. She would talk about it a lot, how much she loved it. My best friend in high school loved classical music, and it was he who gave me a copy of John Stott's Basic Christianity, which I read and was converted, and I became a Christian in my first year at university. And we all have stories like that. You can look back and you think these are just coincidences, but they're more than coincidences. They are narratives of God's hand, God's hand in our lives, shaping and molding our lives. These are not accidents, but designs, divine designs. Verse 5, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." Verse 16, "With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone." There's a narrative in this psalm of the sovereign hand of Almighty God in his life. I think that the psalmist is an old man as he writes this. He's looking back over decades of experience. He has gray hairs. He has seen a lot. He has been through trials and tribulations. "E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs my temple adorns, like lambs, they shall still to my bosom be born," the hymn writer says. Well, let's take a look at this psalm together. And if you're young and you don't feel you identify with gray hairs, the gray hairs have something to teach you too. It has no title, and commentators conjecture that Psalm 70 and 71 sort of belong together. There are lots of similarities. Psalm 70 is, of course, very brief. And there's the presence of enemies here in verses 13 and 24. But the main thought of this psalm is the faithfulness of Almighty God from birth through life and down to old age. God has been faithful. So Alec Motier calls this psalm the lifelong God. And Derek Kidner calls this psalm a psalm for old age. David then, when he is older and he's reminiscing. And there are quotations in this psalm from Psalm 31, Psalm 38, Psalm 40. And it's as though David is reminiscing and he's remembering episodes and events in his life, and he's weaving it together in a like a diary almost. So first of all, the stability that age provides, the stability that age provides. Verses 5 and 6, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." And verse 9, do not cast me off in time of old age, forsake me not when my strength is spent. And then down in verse 18, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Now, what does he see as he looks back over a long and full life? That God is a rock of refuge, that God is a hiding place. And there in verse 19, he says, who is like you? You remember in the previous psalm, Psalm 70, that exclamation that God is great. God is great. Who is like you? And it's actually reflecting language from Exodus 15 and verse 11, that greatest of all acts in Israel's history, the parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance of God's people from bondage in Egypt, and that becomes the template, as it were, this mighty God who delivers his people. We think of those words in Isaiah chapter 40, to whom then will you liken me, that I should be like him? The greatness, the magnificence, the glory, the transcendence of Almighty God. And what appears here in this psalm is that age and experience has given him a stability. We should aim to run the last lap well and strong. Thomas Ken, in 1674, famous words, live each day as if thy last. Live each day as if thy last. The psalmist here isn't daydreaming, but he's living in the present, and he's practicing the spiritual discipline of the presence of God. He's practicing the presence of God in order that he might say in the opening verse, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Now, the secular philosophy of aging goes something like this, that you slow down, you relax, you amuse yourself, you do whatever brings you joy, you're not running anything anymore or engaging in anything that's creative, you're off the treadmill, you're out of the rat race, so practice self-indulgence to the maximum. Society has put you on the shelf, and everything about that sounds to me depressing and soul-destroying. But it is the philosophy of our age. This psalm is teaching us something else, that seniors, well, they've been around for decades. They've seen a lot. Hardly anything comes into their lives that's new or never before experienced. They've gained wisdom and insight. They've lived varied and full lives. They've married, they've had children. They've nurtured them in the gospel. They've joined a church. They've used their gifts and talents to help and aid others. They've encouraged and counseled, sometimes warned. Yes, and some of them have fallen here and there, but they've been picked up again by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're better off for it. And like this psalmist here in Psalm 71, they've matured in the faith. They've learned to read providence backwards, like Hebrew. They've learned the truth that God reveals and how to live by that truth into old age, so that they can say, with the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come, I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, Joseph Addison wrote in that wonderful hymn, the stability that maturity provides. Well, look around you. And half of this assembly this morning have gray hairs. But that means wisdom. That means experience. And if you're young this morning, do not despise the wisdom of gray hairs who can help you and nurture you and encourage you in the pilgrimage that is the Christian life, as Psalm 71 seems to be saying. Well, secondly, the trust that maturity provides, the trust that maturity provides. Now, in verse 20, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. And verse 7, I have been as a portent or a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. So once again, the psalmist is surrounded by trouble, difficulty, enemies, trials. Through many tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God, Paul says. And some have concluded, and you see it there in verse 10 and 11, my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. And it seems as though David is saying that his enemies are concluding, because he's experiencing trials and difficulties, that he must be a great sinner and that God is somehow punishing him. It was the conclusion of Job's friends that the reason for Job's calamities and trials was because he was a great sinner. And they were, of course, wrong. And what you see David doing here is looking beyond the personal experience to a sight of God's splendor and majesty and marvelous deeds. It's a wonderful lesson, I think. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are calamities. Yes, there are enemies, real and imaginary. But David is saying you look beyond those and you behold something of the majesty and glory of God. Don't take your eye off God in all his greatness, his righteous acts. So again and again, verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Verse 16, with the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. Verse 17, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Verse 19, your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Verse 24, my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. You know, when you have gray hairs, when you are in that class that we call seniors, you have a lot of experience of how God has come into your life. Stories that you can tell. When you were in trouble, when difficulty came, when trial came, and God helped you. God came into your life. He strengthened you. He got you through it. When you thought the ground was giving way, and you look back now and you see the mighty hand of God, the righteous acts of God. This kind of God can never let you down. In you, verse 1, O Lord, I take refuge. And that comes from a prolonged experience of God in your life. You have a personal story, and you can relate that story. Incidents in your childhood, in your teenage years, in your 20s and 30s, and God came and helped you, renewed you, restored you, enabled you, guided you, directed you. And now you look back with that profound gravitas of hindsight, and you can trace the providential hand of God in your life. The trust that maturity brings. There's the stability that maturity provides, but there's the trust, the faith. You know this God. You've experienced what this God can do. And you trust him. You've trusted him, and you've seen him in the past, and you trust him for the present and for the future. And he will never forsake you. Well, then, thirdly, the legacy that maturity provides. And you see it there in verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Yes, seniors, this morning, and if I can address us, that's our task, that's our calling, to proclaim the greatness of God to another generation, to proclaim the faithfulness of God to another generation. We witnessed this morning a baptism. Because as Presbyterians, we believe that covenant children are also members of the church. And we saw a sign and seal to faith of the covenant of grace as that gospel promise is passed from one generation to another. It's wonderful when you know, in the world, in the secular world, younger people can often be dismissive of older people. There's something called ageism in society, and a brashness and an unwillingness to learn. But here in Scripture and in the church, we see the power of wisdom and the legacy that maturity provides. I came across this week a prayer of Don Patterson. Don Patterson was a former senior minister at First Jackson, and this was his prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know as I get older that the younger folks are tempted to quit listening to me. But I long to share with them what you have done for me and for all people. I want them to trust and follow you from heartfelt faith. Give me a voice with the young people in my life and help me to remember what it's like not to know. Give me an ear that listens for their paradigms so I can fit the wisdom you have given me into their vivacious, youthful lives. Oh God, help me do my part to pass the baton of faith and truth and give the youth in my life the insight to slow down long enough to receive that before my heart to theirs. Amen. Well, Don Patterson was praying that God would use him in his gray hairs to impart some wisdom to future generations. And that, my dear friends, I think is what Psalm 71 is encouraging this morning. And may we have the grace and help as a Christian community that these younger generations would hear from the gray hairs in our congregation wisdom, love, strength, and power, and all for Jesus' sake. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this beautiful psalm, mature psalm, and pray that something of the spirit of this psalm might be evidenced here in this congregation, that the gray hairs and the seniors would not feel as though they were on a shelf and neglected, but having an important part to play in the instruction of future generations as to how to walk with you and to love your word and to abide in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.